How many times a day do you think you say hello? Or any form of it? Good morning, hi, how are you? Hey, how's it going? What's up? Good afternoon, good evening. It certainly depends on your day and how many people you run into or how many times your phone rings, you respond to an email or text message. Chances are it's multiple times a day and numerous times a week. This greeting that we probably don't even think about when we say it, sometimes saying hello and just continuing to walk on by, either in the grocery store or passing someone out on the street. We sometimes say, how are you or how's it going as a greeting, but don't wait for a response. Seeing this person enough to greet them, but do we really see them? In South Africa, the word for hello in the native language Zulu is sonubona. Literally translated, it means I see you, and by seeing you, I bring you into being. A beautiful translation, a beautiful word and meaning. I see you, and by seeing you, I bring you into being. Now, I'm sure this word is overused, like our own version of hello. But if we stop and think about it, what does it mean to be seen? And that being seen, we are brought into being. Would we stop and have a conversation with this person we're saying hello to? Truly ask them how they are and wait for a response, and then continuing to further the conversation? Would we do more than just acknowledge their presence, but perhaps see that they might be in need? Would we stop to see the tears they are holding back as they feel no one wants to engage them in their grief? Would we stop to see the worry in their hearts as they try to cover up the anxiety in their voice over bills to be paid, medical concerns, or family matters? Would we even pay attention enough to hear them calling out to us? Or would we just walk on by, or worse, like the crowds following Jesus, sternly order them to keep quiet? Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. We don't know why. Mark doesn't give us many answers. We do know Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Since his journey back down from the mountain after the transfiguration, he's been making his way south. Earlier, Mark tells us he left that region and went to the region of Judah near the Jordan. Jericho is near the Jordan and somewhat on the way to Jerusalem, though a bit east. So perhaps Jesus was just passing through as he continued on his way to Jerusalem. Though on his way out, large crowds began to follow him. He must have done something, or word must have spread for the crowds to follow as he leaves the city. And a man named Bartimaeus, literally, which means the son of Timaeus, happened to be a blind beggar, was sitting along the side of the road. This was quite common, beggars sitting along the road, hoping for pity, spare change, a bite to eat, anything. And this large crowd must have been pretty loud and pretty enthralled by Jesus, for Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is with them and begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Yet not too many in the crowd were happy about this, and they yelled at him to keep quiet. In fact, the actual word is rebuked, like how Jesus rebuked the demon in the beginning of Mark, or how Peter tried to rebuke Jesus when he said the Son of Man must die. Many in the crowd rebuked this blind beggar. How dare he call out to Jesus, disturb him, and cause a ruckus? Yet this blind man couldn't care less about the crowds and shouts even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This causes Jesus to stand still and, in a sense, force these people to see this man, telling the crowds, "Call him here." Forcing the people, the crowds, to stop overlooking him but see this man, this one who is crying out for help, who rightly proclaims Jesus to be the Son of David. The first time anyone proclaims Jesus to be the Son of David here in the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus forces the crowds to see him, to bring him into being. This is important to note that Jesus, in a sense, forces these crowds to see Bartimaeus. Jesus could have easily just walked over to him, spoke with him himself, without bringing the crowds or the disciples into it at all. But he tells them, call him here, making them engage with this man, help him walk over to Jesus, guiding him along the way. This one who would have been an outcast from society, always looked, overlooked and pushed aside, this blind beggar who would have lived on the streets, and many would have thought that that was the punishment that he deserved. The punishment from God, so why bother helping? This man would have been considered an evil sinner, or that he was bearing the sins of his parents. And who would have wanted to interact with him, this sinner? He wouldn't have been able to have a job. Any family would have disowned him, left him as an outcast and pushed to the fringes of society. Barely anyone ever seeing him, let alone coming and talking to him or having any sort of relationship. Yet Jesus not only sees him, but calls others to see him, to interact with him, to help him. Jesus sees him, and in seeing him, brings the blind man into being. And he asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus responds, my teacher, let me see again. Here, Jesus not only sees him and brings him into being, but restores him back into society, reconciles him to the community and to God by saying, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regains his sight, but instead of going, he follows Jesus on the way. So grateful for being restored and reconciled back into the community that he follows after the one who bestowed this great love upon him. This one who he saw to be the Messiah, the Son of David. The one who saw him and loved him, making a way for him to be restored, to be seen by others, to be brought back into being. This isn't the first time Jesus has done this, restoring and reconciling the outcast, those overlooked, those suffering illnesses, blindness, demons, diseases, back into society, back to life, back to God. Way back at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, we saw Jesus call out the demon in the man in the synagogue. This was his first healing, reconciling, and restoring act. And here, Jesus heals the blind man, his last healing act before his reconciling act of love for the world on the cross. And in between these two stories are about 10 other detailed stories of Jesus' healing. But there's something different about this one than all the others. In all the others, either a person in need came directly to Jesus or others brought them to Jesus. Or Jesus goes out to them. Here, while the blind man calls out, others tell him to quiet down, rebuke him, and try to ignore him. But Jesus insists that they see him. No other time does Jesus do this, and yet his act of healing, restoring, and yet his last act of healing and restoring, he wants the crowds to see and to have an active part in the healing. To bring this man into being, this restoring and reconciling love that brings Bartimaeus back into being, back into society, no longer an outcast pushed aside or ignored, but included, as he then follows Jesus on the way. And also, he is the only one in the Gospel of Mark who, when he is healed, that he does follow on the way. Perhaps the powerful, humbled, and grateful response to being seen, restored, and reconciled by love. Patrick Hingda growing up in Nairobi, endured major problems with addictions for years. At first, it started with just cigarettes and marijuana, but these got him expelled from school, and it started a downward spiral. His mother tried to help him, eventually checked him into a mental hospital in hopes to curb his habit. Only he would frequently run away and then be readmitted, complaining every time that he's not mentally ill, and that's why he kept running away and refused medication in the first case. After about 8 times in and out of the mental hospital, he ran away for good and began to roam the streets, getting drugs wherever he could, creating a corner for himself outside of a small hotel to live. His mother still tried to help him, and she'd bring him food. She states, "We were always a spectacle. People would call each other to come and stare, laugh, and point at us as we ate. I was known as Mama Wa Wazimu, the madman's mother." But one day, Patrick ran into an old schoolmate, Wanja, who at first almost didn't recognize him after it being 15 years since they last saw each other and over a decade of Patrick living on and off the street. They began talking, and Wanja offered to buy him lunch. After a few conversations and meetings, it became clear to her that Patrick had a desire to get off the streets and start a new life. She promptly checked him into a rehab center and found support and donations for his treatment through social media, even providing him something to focus on after his recovery with helping him to start his own business. Through the help of Wanja, Patrick got clean and is incredibly thankful for a second chance at life. He states, "I feel like a new man. I pray daily, asking God to deliver me so I may not be pulled back to that life of drugs." And all because Wanja saw him when so many others were willing to overlook him, laugh at him, look down at him. Wanja truly saw him in such a way that brought him into being, restored him, reconciled Patrick with himself and the world around him, with God, sharing God's reconciling and restoring love. Like Jesus saw the blind man Bartimaeus and called the crowds, the disciples calls us to see those who need restoring, reconciling love. Perhaps those on the fringes, those overlooked, perhaps those in our own community, our own families, or those sitting next to us, those in deep need of the love of God. This love of God through Christ Jesus, who gave his life for the ultimate act of reconciling love. For you, for me, for the world. Amen.